Walker is the music that we're playing. Doesn't that sound great? Good stuff. We'll be hearing that throughout the morning. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's Friday. It is the 1st of February. It's Super Bowl weekend. A lot going on. We have a very exciting panel today. We've got cool things to talk about regarding the lockbox. We've got a lot of, there was just news breaking left and right. Cory Booker just announced that he's running for president. So that's a news story. I know. Are you surprised, Mike?
I love Cory Booker.
I'm
just going to say that.
I thought, okay, we can get into it later. But the Kushner connection with Cory Booker, yeah. I was not really back when they were Democrats. Yeah. I thought that was interesting. Yeah. I was reading about that this
Ivanka
morning.
Contributed to his Senate campaign.
She had, they had parties in their house for him, like house parties for the Cory Booker campaign. Anyway, well, so he's a candidate, and then of course there was the New York Times interview with the president last night, and there's the Mitch McConnell rebuke. So we have a lot to talk about. So we'll get to that in just a second. Let me introduce everybody. Our good friend Mike Spain is here. Mike is a former Times Union Associate Editor and a dear friend of this program, so dear that I woke him up in the middle of the night and I said, we had a cancellation, can you come in? And he said yes.
Happy to be here,
Joe. Anyway, thank you very much. That cancellation is our good friend David Soares, who cannot be with us today. Aaron, who normally would be here, was here yesterday. Judith Henk is here. She is the Senior Fellow and Visiting Professor at Bennington College, founder of Beyond Plastics, and former EPA regional administrator, and it's always a pleasure.
A true star.
Good morning.
The bridges were open. You made it today.
That was 2 hours in a traffic jam.
And really?
Let the record reflect, I never gave up trying to get here last Friday. But it's water under the bridge.
That's
I'm
right.
Here today.
That's so right. This was Judith got.
She was on the other side of the river when the barges were
just running around, going up and down the river. So but
you could have driven to Mechanicville and come across.
I almost went down to the Rip Van Winkle in Catskill to cross. Every bridge I got to just closed.
Mm. It was a thrill to have you on the phone, and we're delighted you're back.
I have to let it go.
Thank you very much. That's
and
right.
Next time we'll do that from the beginning. From the minute you're in there, you should
we
be
kept
on. The phone.
But as Judith said, she kept on thinking she was. Almost just about.
She could
there.
See Albany from there.
I think I was driving south with the boats, and the boat would get to the bridge and they would close the bridge. It was a very good Zen.
Did they
exercise.
Do any damage to those things?
I don't think
they
so.
Said the bridges were not damaged. They inspected them. They were a little careful about the old 170 something year old Livingston Avenue Bridge, which was originally built during the Civil War, and then they upgraded it around 1910. But that's the link of Amtrak from Albany to upstate to Chicago to west.
So, Mike, do you remember when they built that 110-year-old bridge?
It is the Achilles heel, as the Times Union referred to it, of the whole Amtrak network.
Yeah,
and they're trying to get that one replaced. That was not damaged, even though the Captain J.P. crashed into it. The captain
and they didn't stop the trains.
No,
that
no, they,
that the
no.
Times
they slowly
had.
Went across. So
they
said
cautious.
They walked them across.
Yeah, I'm all for that, by the way.
I don't know about that. I've often thought as I cross a bridge and I get nervous about crossing the bridge, whether I should go faster or slow.
Right, this is going to go down. I want to be off
faster.
Of this before.
I'm with you, Alan.
Run.
I don't know.
The car and run.
I'm not a good bridge person. No. I don't really like
bridges. And the advantage of going fast over a bridge is there won't be other cars behind you as much. And then it keeps
well, there
the
was that
off.
Schoharie incident. I'll never forget that.
That was awful.
A terrible tragedy.
Yeah, horrible.
Oh, yeah, that was like 1986, maybe.
I don't remember whether it was an apocryphal story or not. Joe, you may remember this, but apparently some guy saw it, screeched to a halt, got out of the car and tried to stop traffic. Yes.
That was the Connecticut I-95 bridge.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, there was a guy that stopped. Right after the Schoharie Creek one on the New York State Thruway happened in 86, I believe. Within a couple of years, there was another one on I-95 in Connecticut where the bridge went down and somebody got out of their car and tried to flag down another driver and they went by, giving him a certain
universal
gesture.
Signal.
Yes, right.
The universal signal.
Like
a universal
no
signal.
Bridge.
And that was the last thing they did.
April 4th, 1987. Wow.
Oh, 87 was
32
the
years.
Bridge.
Yesterday.
It was a tragedy.
Certainly was. Yeah, we had actually a local person who was killed in that from our region. Anyway, so good morning. We're glad you're here. Thank you.
Enough with the bridges.
The bridges were not. Thankfully,
damaged.
Yeah.
Says the Times Union editor, always following every detail. It's so good you're on this show.
It was 87, not 86.
Alan Chartok, good morning. We've got exciting news regarding the lockbox today. We've been making great progress with the lockbox, but we have some more to do, obviously. So, what do we need to do today?
Okay, here, Joe. It's very exciting. I mean, you know, I'm not putting anything on when I tell you that we have we got to the $500,000 mark.
Correct.
And now we have a $5,000 anonymous challenge because I don't have my thing here. What do we got right now, Joe?
We have right now the total is $526,091, which means that what's this challenge for? To get us to what point?
$5,000 to get us to $550,000 by the end of the show this morning. $5,000, we hear. People love to do this.
So that that means that we need to make $23,000.
Yeah.
And $23,900 in the next hour and 20 minutes. Well, 10 minutes.
It won't be easy. But can you imagine if we do it, we'll get to $550,000. I never thought I would see a lockbox that we went in with $600,000. But I think Judith and Mike and Joe, people are really, really concerned about losing time on the radio. These conversations we have are one of the few places you can go to hear this kind of information. And all I'm asking is that if you believe that, so it's that simple. Not because I'm telling you, but because if you believe that, if you've arrived at that independently, get on the phone, put something in, whether it's $1,000. $1,000 is $3 a day. So I'd love you to give $1,000. But if you can't, then give five.
You know better than anybody else of what you can afford. And all we ask you to do is to think about it and do what you can do.
Right.
I will say that we'll start keeping track here. And we got $5,000 is a lot of money. We made it the other day. We'd love to make it this morning. And we'll get going. We have operators standing by.
Lewis Aluminum.
It's 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. And we also, remember, you can do this online at wamc.org, wamc.org. I'm told it's about 50-50.
And you can put down something now. You can do it month by month. We'll do it all. I mean,
yeah, people do like $10 a month.
Yeah.
Whatever you need to do. We will work
like
with you. That's right. I was going to say like buying a used car, but sure. Or like religion. Yes,
it's
exactly.
Like tithing.
Yes,
there you go. Right. Thank you.
So this is great. So if, Joe, can you imagine if we could do that, we'll be halfway to the $600,000 mark.
And that's right.
Then we'll have some time next week to try to do it. But I never thought we'd see $600,000 in a lockbox. Never.
Well, we can do it, and we are just $73,000 away from your dream, so let us make it so. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, and we'll...
How about the hand? How about
we'll
the
remind
gloves?
You, that's right. So if you go to WAMC.org, there's a drop-down menu, and you can see the stuff that you can get as a premium. You're more than welcome to get a premium. One of the things is a winter hat and gloves for $120. And I can't think of a better time for you to get those right now.
A better day.
Very timely.
Earmuffs? Yeah, do we have earmuffs?
Right.
That's next winter.
They'll certainly be here in time for next winter.
Yes, that's... So it's WAMC.org, and of course, whatever you can do is great. WAMC.org. Okay, now we've introduced everybody. We're ready to go. We'll get started. I guess we'll start with the president's interview with the New York Times, just because it is somewhat revealing as to what sort of brings, ties a lot of stories together, I guess, and gives us an opportunity to talk about a bunch of different things. One, of course, would be the looming second shutdown, and as the talks go on of the president getting a border wall. So the president said in an interview with the Times that he would most likely proceed on a border wall without lawmakers when talks end in 2 weeks, calling the border talks a waste of time. He also dismissed any suggestions of wrongdoing in the investigations that have ensnared his associates. It was a interesting thing in the Times. They wrote this morning, or yesterday, I guess, that the publisher, A.G. Sulzberger, was asked by the president to come for an off-the-record dinner. Sulzberger said, no, but I will come and bring two reporters if you would like to do an on-the-record conversation. And the president said, okay. And so what we have...
But did you hear what happened when they got to the White House? The two reporters had been were let right in, and they made him stand in the cold for a half an hour or more because they had forgotten to put his information into the computer. Right. And he ended up, you know, getting there too late to see some event that was happening that Trump wanted to show off with the Chinese visitors and stuff like that. But
wow. Maybe it was accidentally on purpose.
You wonder.
It is hard to get into the White House if they don't have your, they need your social security number.
Right. And that had not been put in. Clearance. Someone hustled out and apologized.
I bet it was on purpose.
Yeah. Peter Baker and Maggie Haberman did get in, and they did the interview.
With the failing New York Times.
With the failing New York Times.
And it's thriving so well these days.
He called the talks a waste of time, indicated he will likely take action on his own when they officially end in 2 weeks. At the same time, he expressed optimism about reaching a trade deal with China and denied being at odds with his intelligence chiefs. I think Nancy Pelosi is hurting our country very badly by doing what she's doing, and ultimately I think I've set the table very nicely, Mr. Trump said. He made no mention of closing the government. Again, a move that backfired on him, but instead suggested he plans to declare a national emergency to build the wall. I've set the table, he said. I've set the stage for doing what I'm going to do. I would, just before we get into this, I would recommend that if you get a chance to read the transcript in the New York Times, because I think the article perhaps comes off a bit more coherent than the actual conversation did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have a video of a lot of it, too. And when you hear the way he describes Nancy Pelosi, it's just he's deriding her. He sounds like a little kid who's mad. I mean, it really does. It sounds childish.
So what's new?
Litany of things. I mean, where to begin? I mean, it's just so headache-inducing.
So CNN, I'm sorry, Judith, but I'm sorry, I did interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, go.
No question. CNN put them on, and the great things they can do now, they put what Dan Coates said, then they put what the president said. You know, they've contradicted.
That was a big part of it, this whole kind of walking back on the disagreement with all the intelligence chiefs and the way he's portraying it.
So the way that I just turned the television on, so that's why we got some sound. Let me turn that off. There we go. When you said CNN, it reminded me we didn't have our monitor on. So the national intelligence chiefs came out and said these are our concerns. The president then the next day said that they were naive and needed to go back to school. And then the walking back was not to have him say, oh, I misunderstood. No, instead he said that what they said, the fake news media took it out of context, and that's not what they said. And I talked to them, and they said, I said this. And again, when you watch them, well, that's exactly what they said.
And
what?
He also said he's smarter than them, the whole panel
right.
of experts.
He's kind of said that before.
A lot.
Yeah.
But
he's also smarter than the generals.
Yeah. During the interview with Sulzberger and the two reporters for the New York Times, a tweet went out from Trump that showed a picture of him sitting with Coates and Haskell, is it?
And
other intelligence people that was in the Oval Office saying that we're all in agreement and the news media played it up wrong. So that tweet went out. They didn't see him do it, and he mentioned, well, people. I dictate some of my tweets, and I have people do the tweets for me. So
I guess they have people.
They gave handouts, right? They gave the reporters handouts of the tweets that were copies of the two tweets
while they were
in the room, right?
So it reveals that maybe there's somebody who's his alter ego, maybe sending out some of these tweets, and that's a little frightening.
That is scary too.
Well, it depends on what time of the day, not to belabor this, but I think he does his own tweeting before he comes down from the residence at around 11 a.m.
It's 11 now. It used to be 10.
Right. Yeah, so he's upstairs in his pajamas watching Fox News.
That is so good.
And other stations. He says he doesn't watch Morning Joe, but he tweets about Morning Joe. And then he strolls in around 11, and then maybe at 11 is when other people tweet for him. The worst tweets seem to be first thing in the morning, like from 6 a.m. to 11.
For the rare when you get it like 12:30 in the morning or something, those are a little frightening too.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do we make of it all?
Well, the first question I had when I read about the Times thing, you've cleared some of it up for me, Joe, is why the Times? Why do they get this thing? And I kept thinking of all the possibilities, one of which was he really hates Bezos and the Washington Post with such incredible passion that this, I'll show you, I'll go to your arch rival and I'll go to the Times. But also he knows what the demographics of the Times readership is. And every once in a while, he needs to get to them.
And it's his hometown paper. That's what he read every day with the Post and the Daily News. I think, you know, there are so many disturbing threads in this interview. Let's start with negotiating with Congress is a waste of time. You know, he set an artificial deadline of 3 weeks to reach agreement before he closes the government. And, you know, not even
or does something else.
Yeah, not even a week in. He's declaring it all a failure. I know that the congressional appropriators are trying to keep him and Jared Kushner as far away from the process as possible so they can reach a bipartisan agreement and present it to the president. But he's kind of preordained that anything they send him, he's not going to accept.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll discuss this and much, much more. We have a lot to talk about. We welcome your lockbox help as well, WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. I will do the math, 1-800-323-9262. So you chip away, and then at the end you've done it, right? And so we started this morning with a $5,000 challenge from Anonymous from New York City to get to the $550,000 point in the drive. We needed $24,000, $23,999, and we're now at $22,000. So there you go. But it's still a long way to go. We have about 56 minutes to make $22,000. So
my heart is in palpitations.
We do not want your heart in palpitative mode.
My heart is in palpitations. Yeah, no, really, this really gets to you. You know, when it gets so close like this, we could be at $650,000 or $550,000, but we have to do it by what time?
By 10:30. So we only have 56 minutes to do it in. So 1-800-323-9262. It's WAMC.org, and it's $5,000 that's being challenged. So
$5,000 from New York City.
Correct. Anonymous from New York City.
Oh, boy. I want to assure everybody, because every once in a while somebody comes and says, are those real? Let me tell you right now, we have never, ever faked it. Never, ever, ever. So if somebody wants to be, I get it, because, you know, you give $5,000, somebody else is going to call you and say, hey, can I have another $5,000? So some people, for whatever reasons, they decide not to do it that way. It's so important to get this done. I can't imagine getting to the $600,000 mark in the lockbox. That's incredible.
It really is, and we can do it. We just need you. So it's 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. And, we started off needing $24,000, and because of the people who've done their part already, we're down to $22,000, just almost $21,000. But we still have a long way to go. So
okay. You want a letter or two?
Please. Okay. I think you've got one or two.
That's what I have. Chuck says, Trump doesn't want a deal on border funding. My prediction for the government funding situation is that Trump will reject anything they come up with, even if it's $5 billion for a wall, because if he accepts it, then it looks like he was beaten into submission and he needs it to look the other way. So he'll reject it, saying they were unreasonable, and declare an emergency so he can be seen as the winning president that does whatever it takes to protect us. Well, let me just start off by responding to this and saying, I agree with you. I think he doesn't want it because he wants the issue. He wants the issue. He wants to be able to say, see, people who support me, I fight and I won't give it up. Okay. So, but the emergency part of this is very scary because once that president is said.
Remember, if he really wanted the $5.6 billion for the wall, he could have done it when the Republicans controlled both houses of the Congress the last 2 years.
Sure.
He delayed this fight. I think you're absolutely right. He wants the fight more than he wants the win. And then if he does the emergency order, you know, he'll, I think, clearly lose in the lower courts. But who knows what the Supreme Court will do?
Frankly, I can't wait.
Yeah, he's willing to roll the dice. Yeah.
But it obviously is going to take it a long time.
They expedite it. They move it along when it's the president and when it's so-called emergency.
Well, right.
The long emergency.
They did it with Tricky. Remember that?
So
they moved it fast, the tapes case.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Got all the way up there and fast. So I could predict certain of them who will go. I mean, is there any doubt where Clarence Thomas is going to be on this and some of the other guys?
Yeah.
Where will Brett Kavanaugh be?
Yeah. Roberts.
Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh. You know, I mean, Roberts, I have a lot of hope for Roberts that he'll maintain the court as a balanced panel. But, you know, Brett Kavanaugh, he's the wild card.
We will see what happens.
He wants to restore his image, Mike. You know, I mean, you know, he's got to
never restore his image.
Not with you, anyway.
Never.
Yeah. Okay. So that was from Chuck. Thank you, Chuck. And now we have something from Aaron, who says, Cory Booker, Betsy DeVos. Corporate Democrat Cory Booker has worked with Betsy DeVos to privatize public schools. Booker also voted against importing drugs from Canada until a political backlash. Booker in 2014 received more money from Wall Street than any other member of Congress. Pardon me. He had only stopped his corrupt behavior to prepare for his run for president. Why would Judith love him? Just because he's good on one issue? Not good enough. And why this guy would lose to Trump. And that's from Aaron.
I like Cory Booker. I don't dispute the facts from the letter writer. When he was mayor of Newark, he was pretty desperate to fix the public school systems there. I certainly don't agree with him on that. But I think he's a really smart, capable guy. I think we're fortunate that there are a number of really good Democrats that are running. I mean, there's a bunch of them. But I think he's going to offer a lot in the presidential debates. He has, you know, really interesting perspective on things, having been the mayor of Newark.
And lived in public housing all his life, including now.
Yeah, he's... I worked closely with him on environmental issues, so I do have that bias.
So what's he really like?
He's really a nice guy.
Is he?
He is a joyful warrior. He's a vegan, FYI.
And he's a bachelor, too, you know. He would be, like, the first president in, you know, since, like, the 1850s.
Wait. What about Michael Douglas?
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That was the movie. The most
Aaron Sorkin's an American president.
Yeah. With Annette Bening. Yeah. Yes. The environmental lobbyist, by the way. Yeah. One of my favorite romantic comedies with a political sub-theme ever. I've heard the criticism of Cory Booker. He is an honest guy with integrity. I've worked closely with him and his staff. I really like him.
But you know, I'm sorry, Joe, but you know what is really, the real question here is not what he's really like, but what the public perception of him is.
Well, and I was going to say, I agree with you. And what's the public perception? And with all of these candidates, in the end, isn't it going to be who could be Donald Trump?
Mm. Yes. And I think I may be a minority view, but I think a robust Democratic primary means the last person standing will be in a better position to beat President Trump.
Well, we don't know, right? I mean, we just don't know.
They'll be battle tested.
I still think... And I've said it many times, that if it wasn't Hillary the last time, this election could have been won fairly easily. I think if you get a Bernie, an outsider, Trump won because he was an outsider. I think Bernie was an outsider. I don't think the substance of what they were saying was as important as somebody who the public perceived as willing to throw a bomb.
Well, telegenic is a key skill.
Do not say the word likable.
No. Telegenic, you know, just to come across on the camera well and be able to shout down your opponents. That kind of worked for Trump. I don't know that anybody today. Well.
Hillary was an insider, right, Mike?
She was an insider. It was revealed by the WikiLeaks leaks of emails that there was a lot going on within the Democratic Party to make sure that mm-hmm. there were no real opponents to her, and people mm-hmm. were. It was skewed in her favor, and that hurt her, and I think it hurt her because had she faced a stiff primary fight and come out on top, she would have been much better able to go up against Trump. But she didn't get that, you know, conditioning that.
Because
it was kind of because the fix was in.
Because the traditional reasoning was that's bad. If you have a primary, it's bad. But you and I agree, I think, that primaries can actually help you in, as well as the playoffs between the Mets and the Pirates or somebody. I don't know.
The Mets and the Pirates. Yeah.
So that you're all fine-tuned, ready to go for the presidential election.
It can condition you. Sometimes it can be bruising. Sometimes it can have the opposite effect and can really make you vulnerable to a person from the other party who's ready to come in and kind of slice you up because you've already been damaged. Or it can embolden you and make you, and give you momentum. I mean, I think of back, this goes way back, but I can remember when Hugh Carey was a congressman from Brooklyn.
I can remember
back
that
back in 1974, yeah. And Howard Samuels was the designated
Howie the horse.
Yeah, a Democratic Party candidate, and everybody thought that he would be the candidate, and Malcolm Wilson would just steamroll over him, the Republican incumbent governor. And Kerry won the primary, surprised everybody, and just clobbered Malcolm Wilson. You know, he just had the momentum coming out of that primary. Mm-hmm. That makes a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, Mike, you raise a really important point that the Democratic Party cannot put their finger on the scale the way they did the last time. I think, you know, there are a lot of Bernie supporters who are still concerned to this day that he didn't have a fair shot. And I think I'm definitely in the school that, you know, if you're qualified, you should be welcomed in primaries, and it makes the person who wins ultimately stronger in the end. And there's just kind of this weird vibe going on in the Democratic Party where someone announces and then immediately, you know, people pounce on why they're not perfect. You know, you have to be qualified, you have to be competent. But if, you know, if 10 or 20 Democrats want to get in, it's unwieldy for the debates. But I want to hear their ideas.
Yeah, but if you did something bad, or if you did something corrupt, or if
then
and especially with this guy in the White House who we have right now, and all his character, imperfections, you want to be sure that if you're going to nominate somebody, they can survive all of
that. That's why the primary process is kind of a public vetting process.
Yeah.
Cory Booker was accused in a Washington Post piece today of being friendly to business because he defended, you know, so many people from Wall Street that live in New Jersey and make a living there. And they're not all bad. And a lot of them are very good people who do a lot of great stuff. And he tries to lure businesses to Newark, which desperately needed jobs.
Yes.
And I don't know that that's going to hurt him. Not today.
Well, that won't hurt him. However, what might hurt him is that compare him with Obama, for example. Obama was a guy who really considered what he was saying. He said it with great dignity and everything else. Booker, not so much. People may perceive Booker as more of a bomb thrower, and he has to deal with that.
No. Booker's a Rhodes Scholar.
Booker I get that.
Very thoughtful. I don't think he's a bomb thrower.
You know what? It's all about perception.
Well, he showed a different side when he was questioning Brett Kavanaugh for the Senate confirmation hearings. He showed he could be really, I think, he pounced on Kavanaugh. I thought he stood out in that those hearings.
He's chair of a subcommittee on toxics, and I testified in front of him in Congress, and he was very thorough and, you know, really comprehensive and looking out for the best interest of his state. I think he's very credible. I mean, I agree with you, Alan. I mean, if these candidates have done anything corrupt, if there's questions about their fundraising, and it is a fair criticism of the Wall Street money that Booker has taken, but these are all legal contributions in our election system. There's no suggestion that he took illegal contributions.
Reminds me a little bit of Andrew Cuomo, who was dead set against the LLCs, and they're changing the LLCs. In the meantime, he took it. He took all that money.
His rationale was that everyone is taking it, and you just you injure your campaign if you're not also taking it, and we should stop it for everybody, which has happened, actually.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we will continue. We're to $15,909 to go.
Uh-oh. So we only have what? We only have
About 45 minutes.
Uh-oh.
159 people could do it.
Oh, boy.
1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org.
We've got to do it.
Support for WAMC comes from the Discovery Center, presenting February programs featuring snowshoe hikes, nighttime walks, nature sketching, and exploration into the world of owls. AlbanyPineBush.org. Ward's Nursery, Garden Center, and Wild Bird Shop, Great Barrington. For wild bird lovers, feeder, suet, black oil sunflower seed, thistle seed, and more bird specialties, wardsnursery.com. Villa Veritas Foundation, Kerhonkson, New York, an inpatient rehabilitation and wellness center providing healing focusing on the body, mind, and spirit for those with various forms of addictions. VillaVeritas.org for inquiries. And Dr. Brian Strickler at Schenectady Eye Surgery Associates, offering comprehensive eye care, including advanced technology cataract surgery, SchenectadyEyeSurgery.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Judith Henk, and Mike Spain make up the group. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Panel at WAMC.org. As far as the lockbox goes, we have a $5,000 challenge from Anonymous New York City to get to the $550,000 point in the drive. And we have about $15,500 to go. So,
is there any measure to how many people outside of the broadcast signal area listen to WAMC? It's fascinating to me.
It's a very good point, Mike.
Write in from all over the country.
It's a very good point, Mike. We hear a lot from people in Florida, California, Australia, Israel. We have heard from a lot of people.
Jordan.
Not here.
I've heard somebody from Jordan write in a lot and call in a lot.
Yeah.
All right.
They're not excuses, your point, right? You're not excused. Okay. More?
Yes.
Panel, let's be clear. Bernie was never a Democrat until the election, and that's Rich from Amherst.
It's true.
Okay.
And then he got so far in not being a Democrat says a lot, doesn't it?
Okay. So Martin says on Roberts, Mike, your faith in Roberts is misplaced. Citizens United, Husted, and Shelby County make it clear where he stands on issues fundamental to our democracy. He also passed on a few opportunities to strike gerrymandering. What makes you think he'll do anything better in the future?
Now, it isn't faith. It's more hope. Now that the court is more sharply divided, he seems to be becoming more moderate to maintain balance. That's my hope. I don't necessarily have faith that that's going to happen.
A good example is Obamacare.
Absolutely.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that was a perfect example.
Absolutely. I think this guy really does care about the reputation of the court.
The mission of the role of the court.
And there are
democracy.
Too many jokers on that court right now, so he's got to rein them in. Mike says, Booker, what about the article Booker wrote? He admitted he sexually assaulted a woman. I know nothing about this. Does anybody else?
I've not heard that.
Okay. Maybe it was Russians who wrote it. Okay, and then Peter says, Supreme Court, Trump wants loyalty above all else. I expect this would apply to his Supreme Court appointees. They do have a life tenure, so it would be hard to demand that they vote in a certain way. But it wouldn't surprise me if a case in where Kavanaugh didn't vote Trump's way, that Trump would say that he has new evidence that Christine Blasey Ford was telling the truth after all, just for revenge. Come on. All right. Have fun. Daisy says, our friend Daisy, Dem nomination. Dear panel, we have a unique opportunity to make this primary about real problems facing the nation and what the different ideas for solutions are. I just don't want this to be a personality contest, although I know that is always part of it, and I'm giving to the lockbox today. Promise. And that's from our friend Daisy. Thanks,
excellent
Daisy.
Excellent point. Let's have a marketplace of ideas and hear where these candidates stand.
$15,500 is what we need.
Whoa. $15,000 in what? In
45 minutes.
Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
I know. WAMC.org. Okay, so let's go to the other huge story, which is that of Mitch McConnell. Remember him? The Senate passed a plan which basically rebuked the Trump plan to withdraw U.S. troops and forces from Syria and Afghanistan. The vast majority of Senate Republicans backed Mitch McConnell on Thursday in a rebuke of President Trump's rationale for withdrawing U.S. troops from Syria and Afghanistan, voting to declare that the Islamic State's presence and activity in both countries continue to pose a serious threat to the U.S. The measure presented as an amendment to a greater Middle East policy bill is a striking reprimand of the president from a GOP that has become increasingly comfortable expressing its opposition to Trump's foreign policy through votes on the Senate floor.
So what was the vote? It was something like 23 or...
All the Democratic presidential candidates, Mike, were...
Against
68 to 23.
68 to 23. I think 25 Democrats, only 25 Democrats, which is slightly more than half, voted for it. So it was a bipartisan vote, actually.
There was no question about it. But the real question to me is, what was the motivation for McConnell to do this? And, you know, from where I'm sitting, he's in a very tough spot. Look, the Democrats took the House. In my opinion, I said opinion, folks, they're going to take the Senate. It's not going to be hard to do. And they well may take the presidency also. McConnell is aware of that. And he's got to do something because his people are just giving him hell and telling him, you know, this guy is killing us. This Trump guy is killing us. We've got to do something about him. So McConnell grudgingly... and for one of the first times, is really going to bat for Trump criticism.
Anything?
Well, he's just positioning himself to pivot if Trump's numbers continue to go down. It seems like they've kind of leveled off at a lower level right now, somewhere in the 30s. But if it looks like the numbers are going down, especially after the Mueller report comes out. If it has, more damaging information about Trump's behavior before the election, it could, it could be a time for the Republicans to pivot and try to cut off the baggage of Trump.
But it is interesting, right, Mike, that Trump Jr. Gets off the hook. So somebody let that information out. It is Trump Jr., right? Mm. Somebody let the information out that he wasn't calling his father on his block number.
A developer.
So who lets that information out? Mm-hmm. Is it Trump Jr.? Is it the White House? Or is it more likely to be the prosecutors who say, this is going to get turned around and it's going to be proof that we haven't been fair. So if we let it out early before the report comes out, we're in better shape. I think that's what happened. I really do.
And I think Don Jr. is still in a heap of trouble, even if that, you know, he was not calling his father.
Yeah.
He still has many, many other issues.
Joe, how much?
Let me do some math. Read a letter, and I'll have
I'll read a letter
for you.
Vinny says, good morning, panel. I would like your opinion. Which way should the Democratic Party go to beat Trump? More left, more centric, more right, or just right? Have a beautiful I put that in. Have a beautiful day and stay warm. Vince from Kingston.
The Goldilocks position.
Yeah. Well, I think it doesn't have to do with political position nearly as much. I see. I disagree with all you foo-foo goo-goo guys who say, well, let's discuss the issues. I don't think people get that. I think character is what they're after. And so I think that the character of the person, are they willing to get out there outside the margin of comfortability and do something? Bernie was during this thing. Hillary wasn't. So I'm thinking it doesn't matter where they're coming from politically. It matters that they're willing to raise a little hell.
And they're going to have to raise a lot of money. Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of the leading Democratic candidates are quite similar on issues. A lot was said about Kamala Harris's town hall meeting on CNN where she supported getting rid of private insurance companies. Is she gonna stick with that?
No, apparently not.
Mm-hmm. So, and those moments matter if within 48 hours you backtrack from an important position.
You got to know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
that's
I
so
know.
Important.
Yes. Every
interview.
This is not
a junior high school election.
Yep.
Interestingly, Trump, in his New York Times interview, praised her and said she had a very effective launch, and he used it again to trash Elizabeth Warren and
he's
brought
afraid
up
of.
The Pocahontas thing again.
He's afraid of her.
I mean, it is clear that he is afraid of her. And he's
of Warren and not
of
Harris.
Warren. Yeah, he may at one point be afraid of Harris, but by pushing Harris over...
Right.
Over Warren, it's another opportunity to discredit the person she has a very effective message, and she's being very detailed. She's talking about the issues and not going on the personalities, which I think perhaps may sway a lot of people.
But Alan, I mean, you articulated the need for kind of an outsider and someone who's going to, you know, stand out. That's the very definition of Elizabeth Warren. When you think of Elizabeth Warren, you think of her standing up against the banks and Wall Street and the insurance industry. She has a very defined political identity.
And you know what? Despite the hype and the anti-Elizabeth Warren hype, it's so interesting that her base is huge and they love her. And the polling is showing that.
Yeah. I love Elizabeth Warren. I'm going to say this about almost every Democrat, and then there are going to be letters about
Howard Schultz is a Democrat currently. How about him?
No.
Richie Neal introduced her to me, and I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. She kissed me, and that's Elizabeth Warren. And that goes a long way to my support.
That sounds like a novel. Elizabeth
It wasn't that kind of kiss.
$12,900 is what
we need to do.
Thank you for keeping us $100.
quick.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org. We're going to take a quick break. In the meantime, help the lockbox, WAMC.org. We'll be
you
right
said
back.
A mouthful.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Judith Henk, and Mike Spain making up the group. This morning, we have a lockbox challenge ongoing, $5,000 in the next 24 minutes, and we need $11,879 to make that challenge.
So, Joe, let me read you this letter from our friend Julia. Good morning, panel. I would just like to let you know that I am a 20-year-old college student living on a strict budget. But today I found $20 to pledge to the lockbox because every little bit helps. That's not so little, by the way. WAMC has been my main source of news since childhood, and I rely on it, like many others, to be around for a long time. Good luck with getting to the $550,000 mark. Longtime listener and first-time donor, Julia from Albany. Isn't that great? Yeah, that's wonderful.
You should frame that. That's a wonderful letter.
It is. It's a wonderful letter. And Allison says, Cory Booker, good morning, all. Am I the only one who sees comparison to Bill Clinton? I mean, in terms of intelligence and charisma? Thanks. Stay warm. Allison in Red Hook.
Well, that may be a problem.
I don't know if I would have gone with the Clinton comparison, but Cory Booker is very articulate and very charismatic and an an honest and a terrific guy.
Well, and people, also a Rhodes Scholar like Bill Clinton, I guess. Right?
Well, people loved Clinton in the early years before all his mischief was
that's
revealed.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
The Clinton fatigue.
Yeah, so let's remember that. Okay, and that's what I got. Joe, keep giving us those numbers because they are so important.
All right, so...
I think I may be some more.
All right.
Remind me if I read these to you, okay? All right. My dearest panel, I remember that. Two lessons that should be taken from 2016 are, one, if you steal from your own, as the Democratic Party did in the primaries, your own party members will not reward you with their votes in the general. Two, as someone who made phone calls to Iowa and New Hampshire before any votes were cast in 2016, I heard repeatedly from people who were torn between, get this, Sanders and Trump. Indeed, they were not going to vote for another corporate-owned candidate then, and that hasn't changed. Sanders remains the only candidate that can trounce Trump, and his candidacy announcement is imminent for 2020. His supporters are still ready and waiting to support him. And that's from Sonia, who is an activist, humorist, and humanist.
Now, Alan, as a political scientist, is this early for so many people to be out there announcing?
Yes.
And could that mean that a lot of them will be knocked out fairly early, and it will be a smaller and more focused pack of Democrats?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, the both questions. No, I mean, I think what happens is, first of all, is the question of money. You know, and they have to collect a lot of money to do this, and they got to get their ads out there. It was interesting this morning because Booker didn't fool around with an exploratory committee or anything else. He just put out a couple of, you know, really
YouTube
humdinger,
videos.
You know, ads for himself. I think that's right. What do you got to lose? Nothing.
Is there ever a situation where a high-profile candidate says they're announcing an exploratory committee and then they don't run?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, there are
Didn't
people.
Did Al Gore do that?
Yeah, a lot of people. A lot of people do.
88 or 84 or something. There.
It's the chicken way out.
88, I think.
It's the chicken way out.
Do they stand up and say, okay, I've decided I don't have enough support and this is not as fun as I thought it would be and I actually want to see my children, so I'm not running?
And my mother told me I could do it.
So you should have that figured out before you announce even your exploratory committee. Where are you going to find out in a month or two?
So, Joe, any progress?
We are, not really, about $11,700.
Okay, here we go. Look, folks, this is I'm asking you, if you have $1,000, it would be a great thing to put in. If you have $5, but don't turn your back on it, because if we turn our backs on it, it's gone. Okay, Garrett says, it wasn't a fix by the DNC. It's not a state agency. It's a club. Bernie wanted to crash the party and get all the benefits without having to put in the work. I think 2020 will be missing the control when the Democrats roll out their own clown car of contenders, a colossal waste of time, money, and energy, so the people of Iowa and New Hampshire can narrow down the field is better. And I can live with Booker getting financial support from industries in a state. What is more of an issue are the members of the committee that are showered with industry donations only because of their committee seat and not because their state and their constituencies have a stake in the industry. And that's Garrett from Cobank. Well, Garrett makes an interesting point, which is, do the people who now are in the majority in the Democratic Party get more money because of their committees and what they're doing than they had before? The answer to that is clearly going to be yes.
Sadly, that has always been true. What I'm finding interesting is the number of Democrats who are saying they're not taking money from fossil fuel companies. That is new in this cycle. Yep. And the other thing that's new is so many of them are saying they're supporting a Green New Deal. Yep. And in the next few days, you have Senator Markey of Massachusetts, who I also love. And I do. Oh, my gosh.
I live in Massachusetts.
Brilliant. I really admire Senator Markey. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez are both announcing the details of the Green New Deal probably by Monday. And with the Green New Deal comes a request that people not take money from fossil fuel companies. And with everything we know about climate change, I think that is a really important development.
Chuck says, for Senate cooperation, I'd like to see the Senate change their rules to require 22-thirds for all bills and nominees allow any simple majority to bring someone to a vote to prevent the leader from blocking bipartisan bills that might have full party support and then require a two-thirds vote to change the rules. Hopefully this might force them to cooperate if they ever want to accomplish anything. Yes, a lot of people, Chuck, have ideas about how we should amend the Constitution, how the rules should be changed. These are all good ideas, of course. Nevertheless,
good luck with
that. The very problem that the writer identifies is that none of these things will come up for a vote because Mitch McConnell controls the session and controls what gets before them. If some bills came before the full Senate, they would get bipartisan votes.
Sure.
But it's just like it was in the
because these guys
States
would have to.
Yeah.
They would have to because their constituents would never put up with it.
Right.
That's
and he shields
why.
His members from having to vote in ways that might hurt them at the polls.
Well, we have it here in the New York State Senate,
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
You know, I mean,
we watched it for decades.
Well, I think, sadly, it's virtually every legislative body.
Sure.
Well, that doesn't make it any better, of course.
They make the
I
rules.
Agree.
That's
I
what
totally
they do.
Agree.
Okay, and so that was from Chuck. Joe, how are we doing? How are we doing?
$11,399, so 114 people.
I don't think we'll make it unless everybody gets going here.
We have 10 minutes.
1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. And or go at WAMC.org. Look, folks, you know, we have so much riding on this. $5,000. Are you listening up? If we can do this. 1-800-323-9262. Operators are, as Joe put it and Lewis put it, standing by.
$11,200. That's what we need. $11,200, and we will have the $5,000.
Come on, everybody.
$550,000. We only have 15 minutes to do it.
Oh,
all
boy.
Right.
And everything on the table will count at the end.
WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262.
And Mark says, 2020, any good salesman will tell you that people make decisions on emotion, not facts. Trump understands this and won by appealing to people's angers and fears. The Democrat that wins will be the one that can appeal to the best in us and inspire us to achieve our hopes and dreams. I haven't decided who to support yet, but so far, Kamala Harris has impressed me as the most inspiring candidate.
And her campaign motto, I think, is "We are better than this."
Yeah, she's good.
That's a winning slogan. I mean, I think that message will reach a lot of people.
I agree. Yeah.
And Bill in Kinderhook says, discussion of Democratic, first of all, he did say good morning. Good morning, Bill. Discussion of Democratic presidential choice has to include two so far undeclared candidates, Sherrod Brown and Jeff Merkley. These two senators have been on the forefront of issues that relate to all Americans for many years. Both are mainstream enough to be accepted to the party leadership and still advocate for populist issues. Senator Brown is one in a state where Trump is popular. He's been a progressive leader who has championed populist causes throughout his career, and that's Bill in Kinderhook. And he writes me almost every day.
$10,900 is what we have.
Oh,
we
come on,
have 14 minutes to do it in.
We're into the tensies. Let's go, everybody. Let's go. Come on. If you've got $1,000, $3 a day, so much down, so much a week, we can do it. 1-800-323-9262.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org. All right. So.
Hurry up. I don't mean you. I mean everybody.
How can there be global warming if there's a polar vortex, Judith?
Says President Trump. Yeah, so,
I'm really cold. Bring the global warming back.
Right. So people need to remember weather is what happens outside your house every day. And climate is what are the trends over a long period of time. And while it's been really cold here, it's very, very hot in Australia today.
And the ice packs are melting.
Right. Right. So, you know, you have to look at the trends for the last 22 years. 20 of those years have been the hottest on record. We will have cold weather in the winter. There is some debate on whether or not this cold snap in the polar vortex is related to climate change. And I would say that is not settled science. The way
in that argument, the melting of the polar ice cap has caused the extreme cold in the north to come deeper down, or
well,
something.
Well, it's
like
a little
that?
Different. Yeah. It's the warmer air temperature is hitting the upper atmosphere and causing bursts of cold
allowing it to come in.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. And there are some scientists who believe that. There's not a scientific consensus.
Mm-hmm.
I think we want to move. I want to point out that it's supposed to be 50 degrees in New York City, and I think up here on Monday it's supposed to be like 60 in Nebraska over the weekend. And so something is clearly going on, and I think we've always had cold winters, but we've never had it go from below zero to 50 degrees in the course of a week in the wintertime.
That's a 70 degree.
Yeah, that's quite a swing.
When you factor in wind chill, it's like 100 degrees. You know, that's what it will feel like.
Yeah,
Joe, how are we doing?
$9,400.
Okay, so we only have 10 minutes to do it.
94 people.
We've got to have $1,000 a minute. Everybody get going. We can do this. We're so close. And we get $5,000. And the telephone number is 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-9262. Let's go, everybody. Move. Thank you. I appreciate it.
1-800-323-9262, WAMC.org. And $9,483 is what we need. So there you go. 1-800-323-9262. Mitch McConnell calls a push to make Election Day a holiday, a Democratic power grab. help me figure that one out, folks.
It's really easy. We know the absolute rule. The more people who vote, the better it is for the Democrats in this country. And therefore, you can prove it by the fact that every time somebody comes up with a reasonable idea like same-day registration or early voting, they're against it. They're against it because they know darn well what the politics of the situation are. So, you know, you say, okay, we're going to give everybody a day off so that they can go and vote. Not unreasonable in a Republican democracy. Mm-hmm. And they're against it. Of course they're going to be against it.
Well, I think we just witnessed what happened in the New York State Senate and the New York State Legislature when they passed a host of reforms very similar to what it would be in this bill, like same-day registration if you show up at the polls, automatic registration when you register to or when you get your driver's license or some other automatic triggers that would get you more and more people. And, you know— we don't do that well as a nation on voter turnout. So having more people be able to do it probably would involve more people in democracy. A Florida Democrat, Ted Deutch, a congressman, said an election to McConnell's remarks, it would be the American people grabbing power back from the wealthy special interests that dominate Washington. And I think that sums it up. The more people who have the right to vote, the more democracy is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. A democracy power grab.
Yeah.
So we've heard from two people very quickly. 1-800-323-9262 is the number to get us through. We only have 9 minutes left. Joe, how much?
I'll tell you.
Read a letter. Panel, I noticed none of you, as well as the mainstream media, mentioned the name of Tulsi Gabbard. She's the only one.
No, we did.
We did, right?
We did when she announced.
Yeah. She's the only one I see as counter to the status quo. We need new thinking as well as new leadership. Good day, and that's from Pete. And Daryl says
$8,471.
Oh, boy. Come on, everybody. He is charismatic. Yes, but what is on Booker? What is his relationship to the pharmaceutical companies? Did he not vote against bringing in cheaper pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, I think he did. And I think, you know, he said he was standing up for New Jersey pharmaceutical companies. He, like every other candidate, is not perfect. But he's practical. You know, I think it counts that he was the mayor of Newark and tried to make life better for public school kids in Newark and public housing residents in Newark. And I think he's a very credible candidate. He's going to add a lot to the debate.
8 minutes. 8 minutes to go,
Eight Jim. Minutes and $8,346 to
go. Oh, boy. If somebody puts $1,000 in now, that would be great. Whatever you can do, but don't stop now. We are so close. I could just touch it.
Speaking of drug pricing.
Yeah, good segue there,
thanks.
Cory Booker.
Trump administration proposes big change in how prescription drugs are priced. The Trump administration on Thursday proposed bringing transparency to one of the most secretive aspects of drug pricing by ending the widespread practice of rebates to middlemen, an effort to reduce what consumers pay for prescription medicine under draft rules announced by Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar. Drug manufacturers would be allowed to offer discounted prices directly to consumers, but would no longer be able to give rebates to the middlemen known as pharmacy benefit managers.
Can you help us? Because somebody help me, because I'm not that smart. What is the what is this business about the rebate to the middlemen?
Apparently, a lot of money is paid to the companies that distribute the drugs and market the drugs, and instead of and of course that comes off the cost of the drugs, and by changing these rules, and I think a lot of these rules can be changed unilaterally. They don't require any legislation. They
so, what's the definition of a middleman? Who's a middleman?
It's the person who shows up in your doctor's office bringing lunch and saying, "Why don't you buy this latest? Why don't you prescribe this popular new drug that we just saw on TV?" I think it's really bizarre that these pharmaceutical salespeople show up with free lunch in offices.
A doctor can only accept certain things, but apparently they can accept a free lunch if they're listening to a pitch about a certain.
And in the old
pharmacy.
Days, Mikey, they used to give them money for quote speeches. So the doctors would show up, and three guys with cigars sitting in a room. Yeah,
But changing the whole, being transparent under one of the rules being considered, the ads, all those ads you see all over the television, every possible thing, they would have to say the price of the cost of the medication.
Good.
And this would shame the drug companies into becoming a little more competitive.
Good.
And this is like criminal justice reform that was passed by the bipartisan support from the Democrats and the Republicans that the Trump administration pushed. If they push this through, this will be the second big policy area that I applaud them. I think it's good. And this will get bipartisan support across the country.
And there are those who believe that pulling out of Afghanistan and Syria would also be a big one for him.
Sure. There's a lot of Democrat support for that, and a lot of others support it, too, and feel we never should have been in there, and just extending it will not get us anywhere. The Taliban knows we're leaving. Whether we leave tomorrow or in 2 years, it really doesn't matter. I mean, that's a point of view that a lot of people have, and if we leave now, they'll be glad. And they'll
5 minutes.
$6,000.
The Taliban is negotiating directly with the U.S. government and not
keeping Afghanistan out of it.
That really says a lot.
Yeah, I know. It's looking for a tidy exit where they can, save face and then say,
"We
did the best we could."
1-800-323-9262. Write it down. 1-800-323-9262. Joe?
$6,000 is what we need, $6,053 to be exact. And we have $5,000 challenge, $5,000 from Anonymous of New York City to get to the $550,000 point in the fund drive before the fund drive begins on February 11th.
Can you imagine? Boy, it would be a great moment for WAMCdom to be able to do this in a day, a fund drive in a day. Come on, everybody, do what you can.
So it would need to be $550,000 by the end of this program
to get
for this additional $5,000 from your anonymous contributor.
That's right, Mikey.
$6,033.
Okay, come on, folks.
4 minutes.
For every dollar you give, $2 will go into the pot.
And I have to say, there are people out there who have a little extra and who tell me that you'll be there to do it. This is the time. $5,000 at stake. Do anything you can. It's so close. But right now, it's going to need that extra push from you. 1-800-323-9262.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org. And I know we have some people waiting on the phone, so if you can do the website, that'd be great and get it in here.
Everything on the phone will count.
So we're down to,
Okay, 1-800-323-9262. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't give the phone number enough. Joe, who is the master at this, knows this. I certainly know it, too. You can't call if you don't know the number. 1-800-323-9262 and WAMC.org.
$5,900, $5,933 is what we need.
3 minutes.
1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC or WAMC.org.
Oh, boy.
WAMC.
People at $1,000. Come on now, folks. Let's go. 1-800-323-9262. That's what it is. 1-800-323-9262.
All right. So we're going in. We're about $4,000.
Oh boy. Come on.
A little bit more. I'm trying to do eye math, and that's not going well. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. 1-800-323-9262. And we would get $5,000 to add to the Wild Box. Okay, $5,493 is what we need. $5,493. We only have 2 minutes to do it in, and everything will count. Everything that's you know, if you're on the phone or you're in your computer or doing everything will count.
Hey, Mabel, get off the table. 1-800-323-9262.
So.
Hey, you know, we've lost them in the past, but, you know, it's always...
We don't want to.
Yeah, we don't want to.
That's not the idea.
No. No.
All right, we have a minute and a half. Anybody, last words from...
Any predictions about whether the bipartisan committee trying to come up with a plan to avoid a shutdown by resolving border security will come up with anything that'll
be acceptable? They're wasting their time, Mike.
I have no idea.
I predict there will... be no shutdown, and they're going to go. The president's going to go right to the emergency order,
and then there'll be an immediate lawsuit challenging whether that qualifies as an emergency order, and we'll go to the court, the Supreme Court, and we'll find out.
I wonder if the congressional negotiators are saying, "Well, the president says it's a waste of time, so you know why even bother?"
And also, what does it mean for the State of the Union? Mm-hmm. I mean, what does he say? If you're not negotiating, too, it's interesting. $5,000, $4,900 is what we need. We have to run here in a second, but it's 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, 1-800-323-9262. My thanks to Mike Spain. Thank you, Mike, for coming in at the last minute. I appreciate
Happy
it.
Happy to
Judith,
be here, Joe.
Thank you very much. Alan, thank you. Keep going. WAMC.org, WAMC.org. 1-800-323-9262. Everything on the table will count. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.